What's up, guys? Welcome back to the School's Out podcast. I'm your host, Kendra Checkitz, and today we are here with the one and only Aiden Zerbini. School's out! School's out!
School's out! Beanie, what's up, guys?
Beanie!
Kendra, I brought you something.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude. Watch this. Here we go. Some Barstool Sports, Pink Whitney.
Oh.
There's a catch, though.
What?
You got to take it on the podcast.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Spitting chiclets. That's what it says on the side of it.
That is actually perfect for you.
Spitting chiclets. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I didn't even know it said that.
Kendra chiclets.
Kendra chiclets.
This is hard to open. It's like wet.
Ew. Okay. Well, just open it, please.
I'm trying. Oh, wait, no, actually smell that.
What the fuck?
Smell it.
Oh, that, I don't mind it.
Oh my God. Okay. I am not good at taking shots.
Shot. Take it.
Oh my God.
Ew, oh my gosh, dude.
I'm gonna drink the rest of it. Hold on.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, okay. That was really strong.
Don't throw up.
You know when your mouth gets all like watery? That's what just happened to me.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hot in here.
It is.
Anyways,
hot here.
Thank you.
Yes.
For my gift.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
Anytime.
So this is Aiden. Aiden's one of my really good friends. He also is coincidentally my guitarist for my live shows and all of that fun stuff. Why don't you tell just a little intro about yourself, about you?
My name's Aiden. I'm Kendra's guitarist.
You're more than just Kendra's guitarist.
Born and raised in Vista, California. Dropped out of college.
Same.
Play music.
Same.
Try to write music. And, you know, philanthropist. Entrepreneur, if you will. No, I don't know. I don't know what to say about myself.
Entrepreneur?
Yeah.
What do you mean, entrepreneur? Just
investing.
In what? Yourself?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's the best
Self-help.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I knew this was already just going to be difficult.
Me too.
Because Aiden and I are so close.
Oh, you can see my legs on there. Hold on.
Aiden is looking at himself in the rear view. This is what you were talking about, being able to look at yourself there.
This feels weird. Okay, what's up?
Aiden,
what's up?
Aiden, for the people, Aiden is, so I'm an only child. I don't have any siblings.
Okay.
And so Aiden's the one person that's like the closest friend that I have that if they were my sibling, it would be Aiden.
Yes.
So I consider Aiden to be literally like my little brother.
Yes.
But not biologically.
Sure.
So that's why for me,
naturally.
I was like, wow, this podcast is going to be really interesting. Because yes. This is literally just, I just don't know what's going to come about from this.
No. Yeah.
Great things, obviously.
Of course.
But I just mean like, yes. It's going to take a little bit to get there, but
for
it's
sure.
Okay.
For sure.
So, okay. We'll talk about first. So you do music.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden is the lead singer and guitarist in a band, San Diego local band called Winnebago. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Wiener Bagels. Talk about it. talking about her. No.
Everyone's talking about
yeah, we started about 3 to 4 years ago. All the other guys in the band are kind of like friends from, you know, when they were kids. Kanan and Keyshawn are brothers, and then they met Andres soon after. And then I met Keyshawn in high school. So then we started a band before that. That broke up during COVID. Started Winnebago. It's kind of like indie pop, indie rock with some synth in there. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been good. We're just playing as many shows as we can and trying to write good music. But yeah, please check us out on Instagram, the band Winnebago.
Yeah, I'll tag everything below as well. For if you guys are watching on YouTube, you guys can click on the link and go check that out. That's actually how I met Aiden, was because, so Josue, who was on last week's episode, who I've known for like 7 years, randomly called me I was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm in bed. And he was like, I'm going to this show. Do you want to come? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Sure. Great. Where's the show? And then the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, it's at church.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right. Is this like a Christian band? And he's like, no. Like they're doing this. Like, it was like a festival kind of thing.
Yeah. I think. I honestly don't remember what it was. But all I know is it was like around Halloween and we were just playing a show. And so I invited Josue that day. I was like, dude, come out if you're free.
And Josue called me and he's like, you need to check these people out. Like, you won't regret going. They're so good. And I was like, you know what? Fine. So I ended up going.
But you know how he marketed you as, right?
How he told you guys? Yeah. Well, no. What did he say?
He goes, yeah, I have a friend coming by. She was on The Voice.
Yeah.
I love you, Josue.
That's in typical Josue fashion. That's how I'm introduced to anybody in the music industry is, oh, my friend Kendra Chagas, she was on The Voice.
I feel like when you're on a show that big, and I grew up watching The Voice, like, it's impressive. It is something that is, like, really cool to brag about and be like, I was on The Voice. And
yeah, I mean, so Aiden and I have talked about this before, but for sake of the podcast, we'll re-talk about it, is the fact that there's kind of just a reason why I don't talk about it all the time, unless it's necessary for me to bring up in some sort of, like, aspect where I'm trying to connect with someone else in the music industry and we're talking about it. But, you know, just kind of going out and meeting people for the first time, that's not really the first thing that I like talking about, because I almost feel like, well, I've experienced this on many occasions where people will all of a sudden be more interested in talking to me after I bring that up.
Yeah.
And so I just don't like it, because I obviously want people to want to hang out with me because they want to hang out with me, not because they think I'm famous or anything, because I'm not. But a lot of people will hear, oh my God, you did The Voice, and then just think that you're like super famous. And I would have loved for it to work out that way, but unfortunately that's just not really how like those singing competitions go, unless it's like a dime a dozen type thing.
Sure.
Where like Kelly Clarkson, for example, but she was on one of the first seasons of American Idol.
I also think your best work came out after you were on The Voice.
I agree. I was also really young.
True.
Because when we filmed it, I was 19.
Yeah.
And then I turned 20 while it was airing. So literally the day before I turned, or was it the day of? I think it was my actual birthday, actually, that my battle round aired.
Wow.
And I turned 20.
Yeah.
And because I remember making a whole post about, like, me being on Adam Levine's team and about how the fact that I was turning 20 and, like, this whole thing. I was like, wow, that is never something I would have imagined making about, like, a birthday post on my Instagram. It was a crazy experience, and I loved doing it. But it's just one of those things that, unless it's necessary for me to talk about.
Yeah.
I just don't like talking about it because of the idea that people originally think like, oh my God,
right?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then it's just the whole thing from there. But no hate to Josue for saying that, because obviously you guys do music. So that's something that is important to be brought up when you're talking about stuff like that.
That day was awesome too. Like, I remember meeting you, and that was only the second time I'd ever seen Josue too. And it was just really cool to meet you guys. And you guys both liked our sound a lot after that show, so.
Yeah, we actually, so myself, Josue, and a really good friend of mine, Todd, shout out Kirtle, Todd Hunsaker, we actually started for a little bit, but things just got so busy and so crazy just in everyone's general lives that it kind of just, we had to stop doing it because it was a lot, and especially juggling my own music and Josue being on tour all the time when he was touring more. Cause I think this was around Jingle Ball time, if I'm not mistaken. We actually ended up starting kind of like a collective where we would help do the marketing and kind of like the management aspect for different artists. And Winnebago was like that's why we started it, was because
the starship artist.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, that's why we started doing that was because I heard you guys that one time and I was like, holy shit. And I remember we all went to In-N-Out afterwards.
Oh, really?
And we were all talking about it. And that, in the car, that was when I played Malibu Barbie and Kinda Sorta.
Yep.
And Aiden's favorite song of mine that's released is Kinda Sorta.
It is true. I love that song.
Because it's very up your alley. It's very like indie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, that's like your...
The melodies speak to me.
They speak to you.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
It's my favorite song. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember playing Malibu Kendrick's. Barbie, and you were of Kendrick's.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yes.
That was your favorite song of mine.
Yes.
And but I played you Malibu Barbie, and you were like, "What the fuck? This is so sick."
Was that like an EDM song?
What yeah, it's okay. A film club with a little bit of Henny.
Yeah.
3, 6, 9 shots too many. Get drunk too blurry off a Benny. But fuck that, I'm living in my 20s. Yeah, actually, we're gonna release that soon.
No
actually.
Way.
Yeah, because we made that as a joke, completely as a joke.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that? Do you make songs just completely as a joke, and then you realize that you actually really like it?
I mean, that's what the song that we wrote that you guys recorded was.
What, Homeless Man?
Yeah. The song is called I Sold My Soul to a Homeless Man for a Spaceship.
Yeah, talk about that for a little bit. Because, okay, when they were sending us demos of what song we should record from them,
yeah,
they sent kind of like, it was like a Google like files folder, whatever,
like
drive, songs.
Something.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember I was sitting in the car. And I started, I was in the car with Josue,
mm-hmm.
and I was listening to, we were listening to I Sold My Soul to a Homeless Man for a Spaceship for the first time. I started crying.
I still don't believe you.
Josue can vouch for me for this. I literally started crying. I had tears coming out of my eyes.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. Like, so good. And so that is my all-time favorite Winnebago song, is this. And we ended up recording it. So talk about Homeless Man for a little bit.
Homeless Man. Well, originally it was a title, right? Keyshawn kind of wrote some of the instrumentation for it, and then he put that name on it, and I was like, how funny would it be if we just called that, like if we just used that, if we went with that, because Keyshawn's my drummer, he loves to just like make the most random fucking titles for demos, and then he'll always get mad at me when I just start writing to the title, because he'll be like, Aiden, don't do it, don't write about selling your soul to a homeless man for a spaceship. But we did. And it was awesome. And I don't know. It just, the recording process was with that song was fun to go into the studio with you and with Todd. And yeah, people love that song. That's the only song that didn't make our first EP. And I think it's just because how much of a meme it is. But also, it didn't really fit the vibe at the time. But I love that song.
It's so good. And I did a house show for my own music. Mm-hmm. And I told Aiden, I was like, we're doing a cover of this. Well, yeah. Cover for me.
Yeah.
But like, it's your song.
Mm-hmm. So, was that your first house show?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That was the first house show that we did. And I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was so excited. It gets stuck in my head still consistently.
Yeah.
I will literally be walking around my house like, oh, sold my soul. So good. Which is funny. I don't have a soul. I'm a ginger. Anyways.
Wow. That's true.
So you're in Winnebago, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but you're thinking of and kind of starting on a line of doing your own stuff.
I am.
So what's that about?
I would say right now it's still in demo phases. I'm making a bunch of demos for songs that I have written that I don't really think fit what my other bands are doing, but it's fun. It's slow. It takes time. It's different when it's your music rather than your band's music. And this is why I always wanted to be in a band. And I remember hearing, you know, Ryan Tedder. I remember hearing Ryan Tedder say this. He said the reason he started One Republic is because he was too afraid to go solo.
Yeah.
And that hit me because I was like, damn, I feel the same way. I'm so afraid to like do my own solo shit. Because that means that I feel like it just puts more pressure on me as a solo artist.
Right. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Because then it's like you have to do everything yourself.
Yes.
There's nothing that's like you have a second opinion from someone who's as equally invested in
Correct.
The project as you are. Because obviously like how we were saying, Aiden plays guitar for me. And mm-hmm. obviously when I do things, I always ask Aiden for his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But and I try to make it very like as a collective of all of us.
Yeah.
So like with Ryan, who is my drummer, I tell you guys all the time, I'm like, this is like, I don't want you guys to think of this as you're playing for me. Like we're playing all together, whether or not
yeah.
we're technically a band or not. But that's the great thing about being in a band. I feel like it's good because then everyone's like equally in it to win it, you know? So it's not when you're showing them things and when you're doing things like that, you can show them and they also want what's best for the band. It's not just.
For sure. And I think too, it's like, I don't know. I'm writing these demos and I have so many demos of songs that I have and it's like I'm just afraid because my own internal conflict is telling me, like, this isn't good enough or whatever. And also, I think the biggest problem for me is just money. It's just, like, I just don't have the money to put out a project of my own yet. But that's okay, because I'm just going to keep writing songs, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to keep going at it, and we'll see.
That's the best thing to do, is just keep writing, because honestly, it's almost better that you have that roadblock, because that'll kind of force you in a way to continue writing a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So then when it comes time to record and produce all this stuff, you're going to have so many different things to choose from, and then you can choose from your best things that you have.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah, true. And I think I'm still trying to figure out what style of music I'm going for and figure out what my actual sound is. And that's a huge topic for just like all the groups I've worked with, and with Winnebago specifically, like just figuring out what sound you're going for is very important. And I don't know, it usually ends up a little different than you expect it, but in a good way.
Yeah. Who would you say are your, at least thinking right now, who would you say is your kind of like inspirations for other artists, for your own artist project that you're working on?
Yeah, I would probably, there's a bunch of artists that I like that I've like met mutual friends through, and they're artists that I feel like deserve more credit, but they're not as well known. But some of the well-known ones for me are Briston Maroney, who I'm going to be seeing on Saturday at Wonderfront, which I'm so excited for. And then, so Briston, who else? There's just a couple people like out in Nashville, like Ryman. I'm super into his music right now. Medium Build, I don't know if you've heard of him.
Mm-mm.
Such good music.
What genre would you say these are all kind of falling under?
Indie pop, indie folk, indie rock, whatever.
I feel like your voice is so good for indie stuff.
Yeah.
But it also, you can make your voice work for other things too, because mm-hmm. during my shows, at least, like Aiden sings backing vocals for raspy. Some of my songs. So you get a little rasp in there. Yeah. Like when we do our Come Together.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
For the audio listeners, Aiden was trying to hold my hand.
Yeah, no.
Did you just say ew?
No, I said no.
Oh, I was like, geez. I kind of scratched you a little bit. Sorry.
No, you're good.
That's like one of those things where you're at like a coffee shop or something and you accidentally like touch someone's hand, like the meet cutes or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, we do a cover of Come Together for my live shows, mm-hmm. and Aiden and I do a lot of harmonies on that. But I love your voice on that because you I'm still laughing about the other things. Sorry. You do a lot of like it's really grungy.
Yeah.
And your voice is not typically like doing grungy stuff like that. You're more leaning into like a softer tone where you're doing some belty stuff in there too.
Yeah.
Which I think is really awesome. But when you're doing that belty stuff, it's not from like a grungy aspect,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, what would you say for your artist project is like, I know you say about your like funding it and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about that for a second, because a lot of people don't realize that making music is very expensive. And so it's like when people have like a lot of times when people promote their songs on TikTok, they don't even have it mixed and mastered yet. That's just like a base demo.
True.
A lot of people do that. And so they're like, please release this, like release this now. But it's hard because some people don't realize that like don't do music or don't know music like that, that they still got to spend another maybe like $500+ on getting it mixed and mastered,
mm-hmm.
and also finding someone that understands your sound to get it mixed and mastered and gets it the way that you want it to be. That's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
And the production aspect of it, it's like shit. Sometimes you're looking at spending like $2,000 per song,
mm-hmm.
on getting something produced.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So I totally understand about the funding aspect of it, because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, and that's why, you know, it's hard for people to break into the music industry sometime in aspects like that, because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. It's also so important to have connections too.
Right.
And like, you know, I'm like, you have friends that will mix stuff for cheaper, and I have friends that will do the same. And like I said earlier too, it's like a lot of those Nashville artists that I like, most of that production style happens out there.
Right.
And it's hard to find someone who will kind of produce like that here. So, you know, just trying to meet more people and break into the scene even more. But But yes, that is my solo career so far, and I'm trying to make it work.
What I was going to ask as well was, before we kind of talked about the funding aspect of it, is do you feel like there's any other, like, roadblocks that are stopping you, or is it really just, like a financial thing? Like, are you facing any kind of, like, mental blocks from, like, maybe being, like, scared to do it, or, because, why are you laughing?
Sorry, I was going to say something fucked up. No, go ahead. Sorry, continue. I'm sorry.
Are you scared to do, like, a solo? Like, is that something? Because I remember you were saying earlier about how, like, that's a scary thing. You're used to being in bands. You're used to doing all this stuff. Now you're, like, fully opening yourself up to just releasing your own stuff. And it's just you.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to make you scared.
Kendra, I'm fucking scared.
I'm not trying to make you scared. I'm probably, like, scaring you even more.
No, I mean, yeah.
Would you say that that's kind of, like, the only roadblock that you're facing is, like, a financial and, like, a... kind of just getting over the mental barrier of that?
It's the finance stuff. It's the mental barrier. It's afraid of the sound being not exactly what I'm going for. And
yeah,
you know, like we just talked about. And so, yes, but also I have always been a believer in just like put what you got out, and your sound is going to morph over time. Your music's going to get better.
Yeah.
The more you write and the more you put out. And
shit, my stuff has morphed so much. Yeah. Like since The Voice.
Yeah.
Like since then I was releasing some like real spooky, like a lot of that stuff isn't even on Spotify anymore.
Got it.
Like spooky, like there was a song that I released called Nightmare that literally had like crows in the background, like crow noises.
Yeah.
It was just giving very like spooky, scary. And then I was releasing kind of like really bubblegum pop stuff.
Yeah.
And then now I'm kind of trying to go more like a pop punk rock route.
Right.
But I think it's a good thing, like having your music morph over time. And I was actually talking about this a few weeks ago, that it's cool because as you release more music, you grow as an artist. But your listeners are also growing with you at the same time.
Your music matures over time.
But so like, are your listeners because they're getting older.
Yeah.
So like Olivia Rodrigo, for example, some of the first stuff she's releasing was like all the High School Musical, the musical stuff.
Sure.
And all those people, a lot of them followed her when she released her first thing, which was Sour.
Dude, a lot of them were probably super young, too. Yeah.
But they're getting older.
Yeah.
And so when she released Sour, everyone was like, holy shit, I love this. But then she released Guts, and that's a complete 180 from Sour, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And people love it.
Yeah.
And so she grew over time with that, but her listeners are growing as well. Same take Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has such aggressive genre changes in the stuff that she releases.
And some people don't like that, too. Some people cannot mature with the... Or not mature, but some people just... You know, they like the old stuff more. That's like me with Maroon 5 with your boy Adam. It's like, I love songs about Jane, and I can't, you know, new stuff is all right. But also, did you see that he got thrown powder, like people threw powder in his face recently? In
Adam Levine's face?
Yeah.
What? Where? What?
I don't know.
Like, what do you mean powder?
You know how, like
drugs?
I don't know. I don't think so.
They're just like.
Did you know that was a thing with Adam Levine, where people would like
throw
someone threw something at him early in his career, and it's become like a reoccurring,
like a meme.
Yes.
No.
Oh.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Fun fact about Adam, though, because when I was on The Voice, that was when he was doing his Super Bowl performance. That was that year, and it was a meme going around that he was gonna recreate the SpongeBob. You know, in SpongeBob, where it's like the huge performance, fuck, what's the song that SpongeBob does? And it's like oh my God. Okay. This is really going to aggravate me that I can't figure out what this is, but it's like a whole SpongeBob thing. And it was like a meme somehow that I guess he was thinking of doing it.
Okay.
Oh, sweet, sweet victory. Sweet, sweet, sweet victory. There's like an episode of SpongeBob where SpongeBob has like a whole like Super Bowl performance basically.
Oh, okay.
And people were saying that Adam was going to do that.
Yeah.
And so I had rehearsal with Adam the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm just going to ask because I wanted to know. And I asked him
he said he was trying. Oh, what?
But apparently like something along the line, this could be also me just completely misconstruing something from what he said. Because this was years ago. I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
or I was 20, I guess, just turned 20. But from what I remember him telling me was that he said that he was trying to do it, but like couldn't get approval on it for some reason. Because it's not his song.
Yeah.
So like if you're covering something on a big TV channel like that at a big sporting event, you have to get approval from the original artist if you're doing a cover.
Yeah.
But that was why he didn't do it, I guess, from what I heard, is that he didn't get approval to do it. But I was like, damn, that's crazy that he was actually going to do that.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Super Bowl halftime show that you can remember?
Did you watch this past year?
Rihanna?
No.
Oh, that was 2 years ago?
Yeah, Rihanna was 2 years ago. I liked Rihanna a lot.
Yeah,
No. Who was it this year? What was his name? Do you know his name? Huh? Usher. Yeah, it was Usher.
Oh, yeah.
No. It was Usher. Yeah. Did you see him on the roller skates? Like, roller skating around? I was
such
like...
Such a fucking... Jeez, bro. I love Usher so much.
He was, like, taking his shirt off. I was like, wow. Yeah. He's looking he's good still for got his it. Age, oh, yeah. though. Like, wow.
Oh, my God. We looked up his age. We looked up his age as How we were watching it. It was... Dude, it's like... He's like...
Is he, like, in his 40s, 50s?
I don't want to get it wrong. Hold on. Let me figure it out.
I honestly can't think of the best performance that of the Super Bowl performances. I really liked Rihanna's a lot. Because her vocals just sounded
45
really
years old.
There's no way Usher's 45 years old and he was up there roller skating around like that. Dude. That's crazy. I was really excited. I thought he was going to bring out Justin Bieber.
A lot of people thought that.
Because Justin was like at the game.
Yeah.
And here's me like trying to do all these theories and stuff. I'm like, they haven't shown him the whole game, which means he's probably backstage, which means that he's probably going to be performing.
Yeah.
I'm like that. I can't help it.
Would have been cool.
I like sleuthing like that.
Yeah.
But no, I honestly can't think of one that I really liked. Who was it that like jumped at the very end? It was like Shakira or something. I don't remember. It was someone and literally at the end of it, she just like, woo, like spider monkeyed like off this like huge part of the stage.
It was probably like Lady Gaga or something like
no,
that.
No, it wasn't Lady Gaga. Well, actually it might've been Lady Gaga. I don't know. Who's your favorite Super Bowl performance?
That was a good one. Didn't Prince do one recently?
Oh, I have no clue.
Within the past 10 years, I don't watch football.
I don't watch football either. That's the only so reason I watch the Super Bowl. You brought it up.
I know, I did.
Well, I brought it up technically.
Okay. Well.
But no, I didn't know that about Adam, that they were throwing powder in his face. That's really strange.
No, it sucks.
I'm going to have to look that up later and figure out why they were doing that.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of curious about it.
Me too, because I'm not informed either. And I just said it to you. So.
So we were talking about kind of like maturing with
your
listeners and stuff like that. And I really do. I think that that's a really big thing that's happening now in music because so many people are transitioning into different things. What do you think about Noah Kahan?
Love him. I love him. I think it's, I don't know. I feel like folk has kind of gone out of style within the past few years. And I feel like he's doing a good job of bringing them back.
Right.
And mixing it with pop, and he's having a bunch of cool artists on too.
Right.
And yeah, I genuinely love his music. So,
with your own original music, what would you say is your actually, honestly, just as a broad thing before we get into the nitty gritty of it,
okay.
what's your songwriting process? How do you, not when you're in the room with anyone else, because I know that when we write stuff together, it's kind of like meshing our two ways of writing together.
Right.
What's your go-to? You're sitting alone, you're working on a song, you're making a song. What's your go-to? How do you write it? How do you come up with the ideas? Just break us down with it.
Coming up with ideas, I am a huge melody person. That is my favorite thing about music, is coming up with different melodies for songs, and you know, that's why lyrics is a little harder for me, because then I feel like I make the melodies and then I have to fit lyrics into them. But you know, whatever, sometimes I'll write lyrics too, but usually I will be either at work, on the can, in the shower.
That's crazy. I wrote the melody and a lot of the lyrics for the chorus of Blase while I was peeing.
Yeah, dude. You're getting it all out, you know?
You really are getting it all out.
And so I will write that, and then I'll just make a voice memo. And
while you're on the can.
Yeah, sure. Can, shower, postal office, whatever. And I'll put that in a voice memo, and I'll just leave it there for like 2 days, and then I'll come back to it. My songwriting process is not anything like impressive. It's just like kind of random.
I like the way that you write, though, because when you write, it's like you don't really – something that I love doing when I'm writing mm-hmm. and that I kind of force you to do when I'm writing with you is to word vomit before. Yes. And you don't do that. You just start going. But, like, there's not a line that you write down that's basic. Every line that you write down is, like – I don't even know how to explain it. Every line that you immediately write down is just like this big metaphor of just like stuff. And it just all flows together. And I don't understand how your brain works that way. How you can, one, remember any of these things. Because I really have to like word vomit a bunch of stuff down before. Because then like halfway through, if I don't, I forget what I'm even writing about in the first place. And then it turns into a completely different song.
Yeah.
Like
halfway through. And that happens. That happens. So that's okay. But... yeah, I mean, I've always had trouble getting out what is in my brain. Like, I've just always had struggle with that. Like, whether it's just speaking to people, writing messages, whatever. And so that's why I feel like I have a love-hate relationship with songwriting specifically. Because it's like, I have it all in my head. And I'm like, I even know how I want it to sound.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just so hard to, like, get it on paper.
Right.
Get it on logic or whatever, and so sometimes I'll word vomit, but it's more like phrases that I'll write down in a note, and I'll just backlog that for later down the line, and then I'll be like, oh, I remember having this. But yeah, back to like how I write, it's just, you know, it's like melodies, and then I'll put chords to it and go from there. I don't know.
That's crazy that you do melodies first.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I have to do, sometimes I'll come up with a cool melody and I'll try to fit lyrics in, but usually it's, like, the melodies and the lyrics come at the exact same time.
Well, that's what I like about your songwriting, because you always tell me, like, I'm rushing to put down the guitar, or I'm rushing to, like, put down melodies, and you're like, no, Aiden, stop. We need to word vomit for, like, 10 minutes. And just come up with a bunch of shit to write about.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of things to talk about. And it helps with formulating the actual message of the song.
Right. And I think that's a huge thing with writing with other people. Because mm-hmm. I have some episodes lined up with some songwriters that I work with.
Yeah.
More specifically, her name is Anna. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
One of the songwriters. And I think something that's really important is it's like someone who's helping you write.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that you should have like a 30 minute at least, like sit down.
Dude, therapy.
Word vomit therapy.
Yeah.
With the other person.
Yes.
And just rant.
Yes.
Because you, like, as a songwriter, you want to make sure that you're getting out exactly what the artist is trying to explain mm-hmm. and the way that they're trying to explain it. Because you don't want to make it seem like you're putting your words on it. And then it almost feels to the artist that they're singing someone else's words.
Right.
And the goal of a songwriter is to put the artist's thoughts into words.
I think that's what's so important, too, because, like, I just explained how it's hard for me to get it out. So you helping me at the beginning of a session being like, no, let's do some therapy, or let's just sit down and word vomit. That helps me put it out onto paper, even though it's not a fucking, like, not a good product that I want.
Right.
It's still like,
it's still you're planning it out. It's like a blueprint for what you're going to talk about.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
I do remember, though, we won't talk about it in depth unless you want to, but okay. I remember when we were, writing at your house.
Oh my gosh, dude.
It was difficult because I was there and we were trying to write a song, and we were having our normal like 30 minute.
Do not write music with your significant other in the room if it is about them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how else are you gonna say it, you know?
It was difficult, I think, because it wasn't necessarily like a negative song, because it wasn't like this horrible thing, because I don't want the listeners to think that like, oh, A, that was weird that like Aiden's writing like a shit shit song about
a diss track.
Yeah, a diss track on his girlfriend that's like in there, which was not the case literally at all.
Right.
We were doing our basic therapy stuff, like mm-hmm. our little 30 minute, like, okay, what are we writing about? What's the whatever? And, Aiden's now ex-girlfriend was there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was really difficult to try to have Aiden be able to speak about the stuff truly, about what he was trying to say, with her being there, because he was kind of walking on eggshells a little bit, which is understandable, totally understandable. And so I had brought up, I was like, okay, do you guys have any like arguments that you guys have gotten into in the past that are now fully resolved? Because I didn't want this session to just completely go to waste.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure we at least got something.
Sure.
So I was basically saying, do you guys have any arguments that you guys have had in the past that are now resolved and that you guys won't get into an argument about because it's already figured out? And they had said yes, and there was I guess it wasn't actually resolved.
Yeah, we don't have to get into it.
Right, but it was just an awkward situation to be in,
sure,
because we literally ended up trying to recreate the argument.
Oh my God, that was so cringy.
Trying to make it like where I understood, because again, I didn't want it to go to waste, like the session to go to waste, because we were on a grind. We were on a roll. It sounded great.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. But yeah, long story short, even if it's a positive song or a negative song or just a meet in the middle song, do not write a song about someone that is currently in the room with you. Cause it doesn't end well.
Have you ever had a song written about you?
Yep. I have.
Did you like it?
Sadly, yeah.
Why sadly? You don't have to get into it if you don't want to, but I'm curious.
Sadly, because at the time, it was an ex-boyfriend of mine. And sadly, at the time, post us breaking up, I would listen to it because it was really fucking good. And then I would just sit there and cry.
Yeah.
because it's, I don't know. And I guess that was kind of like humbling for me almost, because I've written songs about past relationships before, whether they're positive or negative or whatever.
Right.
And now I understood finally where, like, how my ex-significant others feel when if they were to listen to a song that I wrote about them.
Right.
And there was a song that
I
wrote.
Don't date musicians either.
Unless you are okay with having many songs written about your situation.
Yeah.
There was a guy that I dated years ago, and I wrote a song that's taken off of Spotify and everything now. But I wrote a song, and I named the song something that was not, it was Dear and then a name. And it was not his
T-Swift
real name.
Action.
It was not his real name.
Okay.
But it was very close to it.
Yeah.
And it was basically like a really sad ballad song about just kind of like my opinions about our relationship and stuff.
Right.
And I was young when I did this. So please let's keep this in mind before you're like, Kendra, what the fuck is wrong with you? I sent it to him.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to let him know I was releasing it before I did. It was not anything about like, oh, listen to this song that I read about.
Were you with him still at the time?
No.
Okay.
We had broken up, and I sent him the song, and I had let him know. I was like, I'm sending you this because I want to let you know that I'm releasing this. If you have any like really awful feelings about it, I will try to do my best to like change the name of the song or do whatever. But I just want to let you know that like I am releasing this. And
and
it was fine. He was bummed.
Sure.
Obviously, but not really because I was releasing the song, but more so that I wrote the song in the first place, because he kind of felt like shit.
Yeah.
Which honestly kind of prompted a really healthy conversation afterwards, which I was like, wow, okay, like that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I have had people write songs about me before, and it honestly sucks that I like it so much.
I think that's better. That's best case scenario though.
But I think it sucks too, because it was not just one. It's like multiple.
Got it.
And then I will sometimes still listen to it regardless, and it still makes me sad.
Yeah.
Not in any way because of like being tied to something within that, but just like hearing that in the first place is just kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Have you ever had someone write a song about you?
Not that I know of. I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
No.
Maybe. Is this a good time to tell you that I wrote a song about you? It's a diss track.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. Shit. No, I don't know. I haven't wronged enough people yet.
You're also okay. Well, one, I feel like you haven't dated like a musician, really.
Fair. Yeah, I don't think I have.
But two, you're also young.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you haven't had like a lot of experiences.
Yeah.
Yet. In relationships yet.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Kind of relating to that a little bit. You're not 21 yet.
My little baby.
You're 20.
My little baby.
Which sucks. I'll say from my perspective first, because Aiden, as we've mentioned many times in this, plays guitar for me, and the venues are 21 and up.
Yep.
So when it comes to artists, if you guys don't know, if there's an artist who's playing at a venue that's 21 and up and they are not 21, unless they are performing, they have to be outside of the venue.
Mm-hmm.
There was one venue, though, that we played at where Aiden had to sit on the stage.
Yeah, that was weird.
You just had to sit. Like, was it because
we opened?
Yeah, it was because we were opening. And so you were allowed to go outside or you just had to sit on the stage. And so I just remember feeling so bad because you were the only one that had to sit on the stage.
Yeah.
And so I would like try to go over there and like hang out with you. Mm-hmm. And it sucks too, because that was the first show that you played with me.
Yeah.
And you're stuck on the stage. But how is that not being 21 with like Winnebago, with any other people that you're playing with, performing with, anything like that? How is that?
Obviously, it sucks not being able to hang out inside of the venue while other artists are playing. I mean, I've lost many opportunities seeing some cool artists that I didn't get to actually go in and see because I was waiting outside. But I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with my youth. I'm cool with it, you know.
That's a great song lyric. I'm fine with my youth.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. And I'm excited to turn 21, but also it doesn't need to come that soon.
You're turning,
I know,
21
it's
going to
go
soon.
By fast.
It is.
So, yeah, I'm turning 21 in like 3 months, 4 months, so.
4 months?
Yeah. August.
Because we're in May, June, July, August.
Okay, 3 months.
Three-ish.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, because you're like end of August, though, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kind of like almost like 3 months and some change.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it sucks. If you're not 21 and you're playing a venue that's 21 and up, like,
yeah.
I remember being in high school, I'd play House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And I, one, had to be out by 10.
Jeez.
And two, if I wasn't performing, I had to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, even if my parents were there, I was not allowed. Is House of Blues like Voodoo Room San Diego? Is that 21 and up usually?
Usually it's all ages.
Right. The only reason, because I went recently to Voodoo Room, but the only reason they ID'd me was because they gave me a wristband if I wanted to drink.
Did I tell you? Last week, my buddy from Arley, Nathaniel, sent me a text randomly. He goes, Aiden, I'm going to the McGee concert tonight. I don't know if you've heard of McGee.
Mm-mm.
Really cool artist. I'm going to the McGee concert. I have an extra ticket. And I was like, okay, sweet.
Oh,
at Music Box. So I leave band practice early, drive my ass down there, pay for parking, get up to the Music Box, and I see the security guard like checking something, and I was like, oh shoot, like what's this? So I go up to him and I was like, random question, is this a 21 and up show? And he goes, yeah, you didn't see that on your ticket? And I was like,
fuck.
I was like, fuck, I didn't buy the ticket, dude. So yeah. And then I just drove home and probably ate some Taco Bell or something.
That's the worst, especially when you're in the industry too and you're trying to like connect with people and
there
you're trying
was so
to go
many
to
people
more
there.
Shows I was... to network.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like, LA is a little bit different because a lot of networking things in LA are at people's houses.
Interesting.
They're events and parties at people's houses. Or they're at places where, sure, it could be 21 and up, but I won't say what places and I won't say who, but a lot of times people are able to get in if they're under the age of 21.
Sure.
It's LA.
Yeah.
But in San Diego, it's like, you're screwed. Like,
yeah.
If you're not 21, you're not getting in.
Yeah.
You're
for the
like,
most part.
Like,
I mean, I'm sure there's people that know each other and like you can sneak in, but yeah. But anyways, navigating through that, it just makes me more excited for what's to come
right.
in my career. Cause now I get to actually, because I'm the people person in the band,
yeah.
Besides Andres, and like I'm the other guys are cool too. But like, I would say I'm the most like, what's the word?
Talkative. You're
yeah.
the most like
extroverted.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm the one that's usually like conversating with people, and it sucks because I can't be in there connecting with other artists,
right,
and stuff.
And that's so. That's something that's huge in the music industry, is being able to like connect with people, and like that's like the way to network with people. I mean, shit, that's how Josue found you guys, was at a show,
right?
You know, like that's how, when we were talking about in the last episode, how Josue met Nikki, was at like a networking event thing,
right?
And it's like, so many of those things, you need to be 21,
yep,
which is such a bummer.
Yeah.
But what I would love is for San Diego to have more venues that are all ages, or at least have more events, like maybe during the day and stuff. But I don't know how that works, because like Casbah, for example, like has a bar inside of it. So I don't know if they're even legally allowed to do anything that's not 21 and up.
Probably not. It's also just way easier to just check IDs at the door.
Right. Exactly. But I'm saying, if they don't even staff the bar, is what I'm saying.
I see.
And they just have an all ages event, like even during the day. But that also comes down to like maybe they have some permits or something of like they're not allowed to have sound at a certain point.
Right.
Which is crazy about Casbah, that there's apartments. There's like an apartment, it's like a condo.
Above it. Yeah.
Could you imagine? I was at a show there for Sands.
Yeah.
And shout out Sands. Love you guys.
Yeah.
And I was standing outside, and I had never like really been cognizant about like looking up and seeing it, but all the lights were on up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I'm nosy. I'm not about to like go through people's drawers and stuff, but like if I'm driving past someone's apartment, or if I'm like walking past someone's apartment, and all the lights are on and all the windows are open, whatever, I'm going to look at it.
Right.
I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to wonder what's in there. So I'm like looking up and looking at it. And I see this tree, cat tree. And
oh, okay. I was like, where are we going with this?
There's a cute little kitty perched up top there. And the window was open. So I was like talking to him. I was just like, oh, he's so cute. My cat, Bead, is sitting on the floor right now. He was up on the couch here for a little bit. But I think that's crazy. Like, how do they not hear? How does it not bleed, like, up?
It does.
Because it has to.
Yeah. The rent's probably super fucking low.
Right.
Yeah.
But, dude, honestly, tell me how sick that would be, being a musician living up there like that. I would honestly love to just hear. But I would get sick of it. I know.
Yeah, you would.
I'd say maybe, like, a couple weeks of it, I'd be like, after that, I'd be like, okay.
Right.
Like, it's too loud.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I just get overstimulated very easily by a lot of noises and stuff.
Yeah.
I wear headphones, but not headphones, like earplugs. Shout out Loop earplugs. Literally the best earplugs I've ever used in my life.
Shout out Eargasm.
Okay. Are the Eargasm ones, are those the ones that are molded?
No.
Oh, okay.
Are Loops molded?
No.
Oh, okay.
But so, the reason why I love Loop earplugs is because when you put them in, they're cute. And so they have, there's like a little design on it. So it looks like an earring. Yeah. And it comes in a multitude of different colors. And they also have a variety of different ones.
Wow,
they have
ones that remove.
They have
Loop right now.
Loop sponsor me. They have ones that remove like 2 decibels of sound.
Yeah.
Ones that remove 10 decibels, 7 decibels. And I think there's one above 10 as well. But they just came out with these new ones that I want to get, that there's like a button on it or something.
Okay.
That you can switch between different modes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but I love them because if I have my hair up, whatever, it looks just like an earring. But I just get overstimulated by sounds and noises really easily, and that's just kind of something that I struggle with in my day-to-day life. But also, like, I just get immense anxiety.
Yeah.
If I go in somewhere and I don't have my earplugs in.
Right.
Even just sometimes on, like, casual outings. Like, if I go out to the bar with some of my friends, like, I always usually have my earplugs. Because I just get way too overstimulated and it's just too much. And then I start getting like anxiety. Do you feel that way? Like, do you get anxiety ever in like public situations, scenarios?
Usually not. I would say as a kid, I would get overstimulated, or like whenever the fire alarm went off at school, like I'd just shut down completely. I hated loud noises.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty good about it now. But yes, I don't know. My hearing has definitely, oh, thank you. My hearing has definitely decreased.
Being a musician. Jeez, yeah.
So,
do you feel like you get anxiety when you're on stage ever performing? Like, do you get performance anxiety, or you just, because I kind of black out when I perform?
I zone out a lot.
Yeah.
Just daily. So it's like.
That's very true. When I'll be talking to Aiden and he just looks like, he'll be looking at me, yeah. But he's just looking through me. He's not looking at me, dude.
I can't help it. But sometimes I'll be like in the middle of a song and I'll just be singing it. And like, I always tell myself, I'm like, your stage presence needs to be awesome. Like, work on this. And then randomly I'll just wake up from like a zone and I'll be like, shit, where am I? Okay. Oh.
There's people
okay,
here.
My stage presence. Okay. Let's get back on it. So there's like probably clips of me for like 15 seconds. Just
completely
singing,
zoned out.
Zoning out. Or like my eyes are just closed the whole time.
You close your eyes a lot. I feel like I do that.
Yeah.
More now. Too. Yeah.
It helps me focus a little bit.
That's been something that I've been trying to work on is my like stage presence and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is getting better over time.
Yes.
Because
I would agree.
Your
stage presence is getting better.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude.
I appreciate it.
Of course.
Well, it's nice having you up there with me
mm-hmm.
because obviously I can't like really get into like a whole stage presence thing with Ryan, who's my drummer. Because what am I going to do? Climb behind the drum kit?
I mean, you could.
I'm not going to do
but,
that.
Yes, I agree. But, we feed off of each other pretty well.
Right. Yeah. I actually, this is a funny story. I had a friend after our soda bar show and I had a friend talk to me.
Oh,
I don't,
you
I think,
told me
yeah,
this.
A friend talked to me and she was like, you and your guitarist? And I was like, Aiden?
<I'm> just kidding.
You're giving me shit. Cause that's the reaction that I make.
Yeah, of course it is. It's
but,
okay.
Well, she was basically just saying, she's like, I don't know. You guys just like, we're so like in tune with each other. And I was like, this just like, our stage presence is very
right.
good together, but also I feel like it's just because I know you personally so mm-hmm. well, and we know each other so well. And like we were saying in the beginning, like you're like my sibling.
Yeah, and it's nice too because we just—I mean, once we're comfortable up there, we just dick around.
Yeah,
and we just you know
honestly.
Make faces, whatever. I think it's important too. Audience members love seeing that stuff too.
Right, and it's more fun that way
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just kind of standing there.
Yeah,
but what do you feel like? Do you feel like, because we were kind of talking about like anxiety and all
okay.
that stuff, all
right.
what do you feel like is your, like where's your head at when it comes to how your, I guess, mental health is when being in the music industry, doing things relating to music, whatever? Because a lot of songwriting is like you really have to dive in
yeah.
deep into like understanding your mental health and understanding how you feel about certain things, because that's where the best songwriting comes out. Do you feel like you've struggled with things like mental health related that it kind of forms who you are as a musician, songwriter?
Definitely. I mean, there's probably a parallel in my lyrics. I mean, there's always a parallel in my lyrics to like how I'm feeling at the time, but also just like, I don't know, for us overthinkers out there, it's tricky navigating mental health, and I overthink about everything.
Yeah.
And social media doesn't help with that either.
No, it does not.
When I'm trying to promote myself or my band. And I mean, I personally, I don't worry about like the followers and that kind of stuff, but more of just like the engagement and,
yeah,
you know, how many people are tuning in and actually are interested in what we have to say as a band.
Because you start to overthink it in a way. I know I'm like this
mm-hmm.
where, because you and I are very similar
mm-hmm.
when it comes to like emotions and stuff like that. And
sure.
like the way that we like overthink things sometimes.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes like if I post a promo for something and like it gets a bunch of views, but like not a lot of comments,
mm-hmm.
I start sitting there like, oh shit. Like, do people not actually like this?
Right. Are they just scrolling?
Yeah, and then they realize they didn't like it. So then they didn't physically like it and they didn't comment on it. Like, oh, is it bad?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll post a cover on TikTok and it doesn't do as well as some other TikToks that I do. And I'm just like, oh shit. Like, is it bad?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I need to get myself out of that because like, I'll send you sometimes. I'm like, is this TikTok good? Like, it's just a cover of me.
Right.
And I'll send him to Josue. I'll send him to whoever. Like, I'll just be like, is this fine? And I feel like I need to get out of my head to stop doing that and just rely on myself and whether or not I like it.
Yeah. I think that's a huge part of being an overthinker. And, like, for me, too, I've come to realize recently that sometimes I need more assurance than I think I do. And as long as I can target that and know that's something that I need – it, like, I don't necessarily think it's a good thing to need a bunch of reassurance from someone, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's, you know, you're showing someone a song, because you do want to be trusting within yourself that you are doing the right thing and you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I definitely think that's something I need to work on with my overthinking. And I think also just overthinking spirals into writer's block so much of mm-hmm. like, I don't, there's so many times where I just want to sit down and write a song and I just can't. And that's stupid, yeah. stupid saying out loud. But
it's not stupid though, because yeah. you sometimes you'll just be in a point where, because obviously overthinking comes in like waves.
Yeah.
So sometimes it'll be really bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it will be non-existent. And sometimes it's just kind of like, eh, like it's there, but it's not.
Right.
And so if you're writing something, if you're in a mode, in a mood, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you'll sit there and overthink every word, every single word. You're like, is that stupid? Does yeah. that sound weird?
And then you is end up that... not writing a song.
Yeah.
Because you're just, I don't know, you're just overbearing yourself with thoughts.
Which is why I feel like my best advice when it comes to that I tell myself all the time, I try to force myself to sit down and write even if I'm not in the mood to write. And the okay. reason why is because it forces you to get out of your head a little bit with overthinking it. And it causes you to be able to just say, fuck it.
And
being, just write down whatever.
And just being okay with it, like not even being good.
Being okay like, with it not being okay.
Yeah.
And that goes to say for you as a person, I feel like it's okay if you're not okay. It's yeah. okay if this is not okay.
True.
It's okay if what you're doing right now is not the best thing that you can do, because you're going to get better.
Yeah.
You're always going to grow. Yeah. There's never a point in music where you get to a point where you're like, I'm done. I can't get any better than this.
Right.
As long as you keep just doing it, you will continue to get better over time.
That's also what I've respected so much about the larger artists that go through these crazy changes within genre or whatnot, because they're just being true to themselves.
Right.
You know, like we were talking about earlier, like Taylor Swift, she's written so many different types of albums before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to someone about this recently, but I feel like her newest album, it's pretty evident that she doesn't really care about, I mean, I'm sure she does, but she's doing it more for herself. And just writing the songs that she wants to write now.
Yeah.
And I just respect that so much. And that's what I want out of my music.
And I think it gets to a point, too, where it's like you'll have people that are following you. And you'll have people that love your music enough that regardless what you make,
mm-hmm.
they'll like it.
Yeah.
Because it's you.
Yes.
And I think that's the best kind of audience to have. Because over time, you'll garner that audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that group of people that is just going to...
Yeah.
Love it.
People will ask me all the time, like, Aiden, what's your favorite Winnebago song that you guys have written? And I'll say,
I sold my soul to him. My first patient.
And then I'll say that, and then they'll be like, oh, that's definitely not my favorite. Or vice versa. More so vice versa. Sorry, I confused myself. They'll be like, what's your least favorite Winnebago song?
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, Miami. And they're like, really? That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
there's something for everybody out there. Mm-hmm. There really is. Just like personally, in my opinion, kind of sort of like not one of my favorite songs of mine. I really yeah. like it, but yeah. it's not one of my favorite songs. But mm-hmm. like that's your favorite.
Yes, it's
Porch.
My favorite song of yours.
Porch is not one of my favorites that I've released. I still either. Like it, but that's Caden's favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's crazy because every time I play it, Caden's always like, wow, this is the best. And yeah. like Criminal. Love Criminal. Not one of my favorites.
Right.
That's Todd's favorite.
Interesting.
Is Criminal.
Yeah.
So it's crazy like how different people are with certain things. And I know a lot of my listeners probably maybe don't love the fact that I'm transitioning into more like a pop punk rock stuff. So like mm-hmm. I Hate Everyone, the yeah. song that I just released. It's not for everyone. Yeah. it's not for everyone, but I have found this really awesome group of people
mm-hmm.
from posting my stuff on TikTok.
Yeah.
That literally, it was the cutest thing. I got so fucking excited. It was someone doing like a 30-day song challenge on their story. And it was aww. Like, what's one song? Like for one of the days, it's like, what's one song that you have on repeat this month? And they put my song on it.
That's
and
cute.
I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is so sick.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just kind of got to keep doing what you're doing. Whether or not whether you fucking hate it. Whether you're like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever done in my life.
Right.
Because Malibu Barbie, that started out as a joke.
Yeah.
I posted it on TikTok. A bunch of people liked it. I showed yeah. it to my friends. They're like, you should release that. Coincidentally, one of my mom's favorite songs of mine.
You should have pitched it to the Barbie movie.
Dude, I wish I did that. I really wish. I wish I could go back in time and have released it around that time. But we need to work on some more production stuff on it because we need to redo it a little bit. Yeah. But okay, well, transitioning from mental health and stuff like that, we're going to play a little game.
Oh, no.
Dun, da, da, da.
What's the game? I'm trying to do the one that they do.
Oh, my God. Have I shown you that I can sing with my mouth closed?
Yeah, you have. But
Jesse J can do that.
For the listeners.
Okay, wait a minute. I'll do Jesse J song because she did that. She did a little... You got a body like a dollar dust that I could get to all the time. Was it?
You can even do the runs. Oh, and the head voice. Wow, that's insanely creepy. I love that.
Because it started out because I started doing the... The fact that I'm leading up to
like
the I'm stuck in the elevator and I can't get out.
That sounds so real.
I know,
what the
right?
fuck?
Okay, so this is the game that we're playing.
Okay.
I'm going to show you, and if you guys are listening on just the audio, this might be a good time to maybe save for later so that you can watch what's going on. Mm-hmm. Or, So I'm going to show Aiden photos of celebrities really zoomed in. So I have two different photos. So if it's too hard for you to begin with, then I'll show you the second one, and you can ask for the second one.
And I just have to guess who
And
they
you
are.
Have to guess who they are. Okay. Aiden's taking a little water break. Shout out. Is it a Hydro Flask? Oh, he just fully dribbled the water on himself. I watched that happen. I said that to Kanan when we were over at your house that one time. And I like the word gerbil.
Ew.
Like, oh, Kanan just gerbled.
Ew. What like, the hell?
Like, it's like a baby, like, gerbling, like, food or water or
like
drink out of their mouth.
Gargle?
No, like, gerbil. Like baby gerbil. Like when they're eating their food and it's smothered all over their face and it like gerbles down onto their shirt and stuff.
I've never heard that word.
You definitely heard it because I continued to say it profusely to Kanan when we were at your house. Because he like gerbled a bunch of, he was like spewing lettuce out of his mouth and like his drink that he was drinking from In-N-Out.
My bassist, everyone, Kanan.
Love you, Kanan.
I love you.
Okay. The first one's going to be easy.
Okay.
Okay. This is the first one. Who is that?
Oh, dude, I know it by the teeth. That's Posty. Austin Richard Post. Post Malone.
That is Post Malone.
Wow,
ding,
okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, all right.
Okay, it's going to get...
I'm
going to
suck
gonna
at
get
this
a little,
game.
Okay, well, I think the next one's
kind of
hard.
Is it all musicians?
Yeah, they're all musicians.
Okay.
Here's the second one.
Is she a musician?
Yeah. They're all. They all do
Is
music.
That Ariana Grande?
No. You get three guesses per
Oh,
one.
My gosh. Do you get to zoom out at all or no?
I have one other cropped photo that I can show you. So if you want to ask for the second one, then I will show you the second photo.
Trying to look at the jaw structure. The lips.
This one I know is hard. I don't think you'll guess this one I'm being honest.
Is she naturally blonde?
No.
Okay.
Do you want to see the next photo?
Do I know who this person is?
Yes. I wouldn't show you someone that you didn't
sure,
know.
Sure, sure.
Okay, this is the second photo. Top of her head, given a little eyebrow hairline moment.
What the? Go back to the first one. That seems better. Ah, Lady Gaga?
No. One more guess.
No, she's... This.
You got it.
Really?
No, I honestly, no, you don't.
What's the genre? Is it pop?
Kinda, yeah. She was in a girl group. I'll give you that as a hint. She was in a girl group and then she went solo.
Pitch Perfect?
What? That's a movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's like an acapella
Pitch Perfect
group. 2. Do you give up?
Shout out Hailee Steinfeld. Sorry, what?
Do you give up?
Yeah.
Camila Cabello.
I see.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you wouldn't have. Havana, oh, na, na. Okay, here's the second one.
Michael Jackson.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
Does that not look... God. Show me the next picture. I'm gonna suck at this game, dude. Oh, dude, that's Cardi B.
Michael Jackson. And the fact that you were so confident about it, I'm crying.
We went from Michael Jackson to Cardi B.
Okay. Here's the next
what
one.
What the hell? go to the next. Oh, okay. That's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Very Taylor good. Swift. Beautiful.
The next one's easy.
Ed Sheeran. Dude, his little orange stubble. Oh, cute
just
lips,
from
bro.
The lips, Ed Sheeran.
Oh, Ed Sheeran.
Okay. What a guy. Here's the next one.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
Damn.
The music.
Damn. Shawn Mendes.
No.
Oh.
You have one more guess.
Okay.
So do you want to see the next photo?
Yeah. Mr. Harry Styles.
Yes, that is Harry Styles.
What a gem.
Here he is.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, you have one more.
Oh, okay. The final, the finale.
It's the final.
It's going to be me. What the? Have I guessed this person already?
No.
Selena Gomez.
No.
Go to the next. Okay, the eye. Is it blue eyes? What does she have?
I'd say they're like greenish brownish.
Greenish. Okay, well that. Okay.
Like greenish brown, I'd say.
Go back. What's the genre?
Now?
Yes.
Kind of like a little pop punky.
What was it before?
Like more pop.
And I know this person.
Yes.
Okay.
There's no chance in hell that you don't know this person.
Pop punk. How many guesses do I have left?
Two. Because okay. You only said Selena Gomez.
Pop.
Do you want to see the eye again?
Sure.
You're really focusing on this. You got it. Just shoot a name out.
No, dude.
Do you give up?
What the? What's her natural hair color?
Like red.
Really?
Yeah. Do you give up?
Yeah.
It's me, Aiden.
Bruh. I knew she'd do that.
No, you didn't, or else you would have guessed that it was me.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Oh. It's me.
Damn it.
It's one of the photos Chachi took of me downtown.
It's a beautiful photo.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Chachi.
Chachi did it, not you. So. Just kidding.
I honestly, I really thought you were going to get that. If I'm being so honest, I really thought that you were going to guess
me. It was
me.
Too on the nose. I wasn't expecting it.
It was, but then you were saying what color eyes, and then you were saying what genre, and then I thought that it was on the hair.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be like, Kendra, that's you.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay.
It's okay.
We all make mistakes in life, and that was just one of yours.
I know.
It's okay. So now we're going to move on to our last segment on this podcast, which is where we feature some really cool small and or upcoming artists that we want to give a little shout out to. So today I've actually given I'm handing the torch to Sir Beanie here to kind of shout out someone that he wants to, someone that does music that either new artist, up and coming artist, whoever you want to give a little shout out to and explain kind of who they are, what they do, all that fun stuff.
Okay.
We're really putting him on the spot here.
Okay, I have one. And this is an artist that I have met before. I'm not super close with him, but also I did give him a call recently, and he was very supportive of me and helped me out with some production stuff. He's Ethan's Room on Spotify. Very cool guy. He's on Strava as well, the running app, because I track my running.
Is that how you found him?
No.
Oh,
no.
Just coincidentally,
I
knew
met
him already?
I met him
on
at a show
app?
In Encinitas with his friend Jack Van Cleef, who also makes music.
Dude, I know Jack.
What?
I literally, when I was like 18, up until now, I still know him. I actually kind of ish talked to him recently. Alec, his younger brother.
Really?
I was friends with Alec. And then I went before Jack was like popping off and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Jack had like a house show at his parents' house.
Yeah.
And we all went.
Wow.
Wow, that was crazy.
Because his parents live in Encinitas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Okay, sorry. Okay.
So I met Ethan at Soda Bar, and I didn't know about him until I met him, and then he showed me his music, and it's honestly some of the most inspiring stuff for my own personal project, and he lives in Nashville, and I have yet to visit him out there because my parents moved out there, but hopefully I see him next time, and yeah, his music's super sick. He just started popping off a little too, so
I love that. Let's play a little snippet from Ethan's room.
Yeah, dude.
So good.
Yes.
Seriously. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like that's almost giving like similar vibes to what you would want to do for your solo stuff.
Yeah.
Like ish.
Pretty. I mean, with Winnebago, we incorporate a lot of synth, and I like the minimal synth in his music, and like,
yeah,
his songwriting is just very sick, and his melodies are awesome. And I'm very grateful that I even get to speak to him sometimes and ask him questions.
Aww.
So I appreciate you, Ethan. Thank you. But yeah, his music's awesome. Check it out on Spotify, Ethan's Room.
Check it out.
Yep.
Well, I guess that kind of wraps up our podcast episode. Aiden, thank you so much for being on here.
Thanks,
if you guys want to check out Aiden, what's your Instagram? Give your little self plug.
Cough. Aiden Zerbini.
And if you guys want to follow his band.
Yes, follow my band, Winnebago. The band Winnebago on Instagram. Check us out on Spotify.
Also, not to be confused with Winnebago, the RV company.
Correct.
So it is not with an A, it's with an E.
Yeah. If you find us on Instagram, send us your favorite meme. Send us the name of your cleaning lady. Send us your social security number. And maybe you'll get a sticker.
And maybe you'll get a signed bagel. You know, I was promised a signed bagel and I still haven't received it yet. I want it in resin. So that it like never goes old.
Okay.
So like a red, like a square.
Yeah.
Like resin bagel inside of it, signed, not toasted.
Okay.
I don't want a toasted bagel.
Yeah.
But I want it signed.
We have
and
a show
in resin.
May 25th, Saturday, House of Blues Anaheim. You can get your tickets online or text us on Instagram, and if you buy it off of us, we'll give you a sticker.
Or maybe.
Or maybe a signed bagel.
Thank you guys so much for watching. My name is Kendra Checkitz. This is School's Out. If you guys want to apply to be on the podcast, you can. The link is in our bio at Instagram on at School's Out Pod. You can also apply to submit your song to be featured in one of our episodes. So go ahead and check that out. If you guys like any of the artists that we're talking to, you guys can check out our Instagram, our YouTube, all that stuff to find all of their links. Thank you guys so much for watching. And this lesson is concluded. Thank you, Aiden.
Thank you.
Yay! Oh, that was really bad. Ow!
Ow! That was crisp.
Why'd you go?
I don't know.
That was crisp. Why'd you do? Crisp.
Crisp.
Why did I just go,
bro?
That's our little outro. We'll put that rolling over my ending theme song.
All right, wonderful.